Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. We'll be at Sorrento of Arbutus this week. We will be at Greenmount Station in Hampstead on the 24th of next week. I'm having some great guests up there in Carroll County. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have the Maryland Treasures. You got to go across this bridge to get to this boardwalk. You do. It's the Maryland Treasures, Maryland Lottery, your friends at GBMC, keeping me alive. And every time I go to eat the French fries and the gravy at Pizza John's, I have to pass when I'm getting a salad. I did get a little tiramisu the other day, but I'm trying to cut back a little bit, not because I'm getting fat with a pH, but just because of like this A1C, the cholesterol, whatever it is. Anyway, thank you, GBMC, for keeping me straight. Also, our friends at Farner and Dermer, who are making sure that my HVAC doesn't have cholesterol. They're the comfort guys. 410-367-7777. I've been reading ads here a long time. This guy works in radio. He's in WTOP down in Washington, D.C. Right, WTOP, Washington, D.C. That's sort of, I could do a whole pig vomit. WNST, WTOP. We don't play the Nationals like until there's a rumor that if the Orioles were to go 2-7 on this trip, they would come back 10 games under 500 playing the Nationals. I'm hoping it doesn't go in that direction as we wipe the sleep from our eyes and you hear Luke and I discussing Seattle and Los Angeles and Los Angeles and the Dodgers and Choe and money and a Dodger dog. This guy's been my friend for a long time. And this is the time of year. It's Father's Day week. He's not pimping a book, although he's certainly worthy of having a book. He has a podcast instead. He's the longtime sports director, sports voice, sports dude at WTOP. Although, was Johnson the director? I don't want to be disrespectful. Are you the director, Dave? Is that right?
No, I'm not. George Wallace is the sports director.
I want to get the names wrong. I don't want to offend
Dave
anybody.
Johnson, it was the senior sports director.
Right,
And
that's what I'm thinking.
when he comes on, they call him sports director emeritus. Like
Okay.
he's a former ambassador. I
All
think
right.
I'm the associating coordinator or the coordinating associate, one of the two. Neither of which carries in any weight. Remember Jonathan Warner, who used to do evenings for us? I actually called him the junior assistant scoutmaster, much to his displeasure. But yes, I've been
Well,
on.
look,
I've
if
been,
Johnson
yeah.
were around, we'd have a hell of a World Cup preview right
Oh,
now if that
yeah.
were the case. And I'm going to get to his Wizards in a minute and your Nationals. And even though, like, you're from my wife's hometown, my wife, back when I got married 23 years ago, my wife's mother lived in your hometown. And I see all these pictures of you and your family and Red Sox, and your sister was a cheerleader for the Patriots and champion rings
And
and all,
Celtics.
and Celtics.
Yeah, so
Yeah. So.
she's got multiple rings, and I've got my face up against the wall in the press box
Well, and
everywhere.
you're, but you, I mean, you've moved down here, and I think of you as Mr. GC and all that. And I go back to you like slinging steaks over in Tyson's Corner back in the day, and you've been at this forever. I look at the Washington sports scene right now, and I'm like, thought the football team, maybe, here we go. Maybe it was okay. Maybe it'll be okay. I don't know. Hockey team, Ovechkin, no bueno. The ownership there, no bueno. The football ownership the last 30 years, no bueno. Baseball in, out, won a lot, then no bueno right now. And well, the Wizards, while I'm watching all my Knicks friends that have all these lifer Knicks fans that I have, and you said Celtics already, my wife's Celtics. I brought out my old Capital Center book here just to feel good about Wes
Oh,
Unseld
sweet.
and the Big E. You know what I mean? When I see an old Capital Center ticket stub, it makes me feel like Baltimore and Washington are one and we're kumbaya and that the reflecting pool's not blue with green algae in it right now and they're not having cage fights on the lawn.
Yeah, it's been a year. It's been a long year this month, needless to say. I mean, I think what you have to think of with Washington, okay, they Stanley Cup less than 10 years old, although Ovechkin is in his final season, or he just had his final season. I think maybe he does one more year, Nestor,
He can
just
still
to
play. I
because
mean,
yeah,
there's no,
exactly.
this isn't Willie Mays at the end,
No.
dude.
And is he good enough to be the Caps' best player? Maybe not, but he's still good enough to be a contributing player on a contending team. Caps missed the playoffs this year, but they had 95 points. That's the same amount of points that the Vegas Knights had in the regular season. So it wasn't as though they were a bad team. It's just that they were unfortunate to not be in the correct conference, because if they were in the Western Conference, they would have made the postseason like the Vegas Knights. I think the Caps have a lot of interesting young pieces, a lot of young guys who have played very well at Hershey the last couple of years. So I think you're going to see the continuing changing of the guard of this team. Unfortunately, I think some of the guys, Tom Wilson, 30 plus years old, does he have another career type season like he has the last two? Odds
He's
are
been an
no.
amazing story,
Yes.
right?
And he's been great late. He,
Like I, you know, I don't watch it. But like I watched him in the beginning. I was in that locker room with Hugh and him and Frankovic a decade ago, back when Barry was coaching the team, and my wife was beating cancer the first time and the second time, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. In that period of time,
Right.
when he came in, it was very Scott Stevensy with the brawling side of, is he ever going to blossom and be anything other than a guy who wants to stick his elbow in your ear in the corner and is going to wind up getting more penalty minutes than you really want him to have? And that's going to wind up costing you because he's going to have to walk, do the walk of shame back to the box after
Right.
the goal gets scored when he's sitting in the box, right? So, I mean, that happened in key games, big games, playoff games where they were trying to tickle him a little bit and play. I remember the Rangers, you know, years ago. So, I mean, the fact that he has blossomed into, is he a Hall of Fame player?
I don't think Tom Wilson's a Hall of Fame player. If it depends, it depends on the next 5 years, his finish, because you look at his first 7 or 8 years, he was not a Hall of Fame type guy. He does have a Stanley Cup. He does have he was on the Olympic team just this
You know what it
past
reminds me of?
winter.
I saw Rick Tocchet coaching all bald
Okay.
now and looking like
Gotcha.
the, not looking like the Tocchet I saw 30 years ago as a
I could
player.
see that.
But I mean, but there was a toughness and a blossoming of that I think if you were getting comparables, that's where kind of where you'd have him. I mean,
Right.
and maybe even like a better player than a Dale Hunter or some of those guys that were known for that.
I think he needs another postseason run, though. For what he does as a guy, he doesn't have the regular season numbers to justify his inclusion in the hall, but if
Yeah,
he has
the
another
team hasn't been
postseason
good
run or
enough
two,
lately either,
yeah.
right? That's been a
And
problem.
they've been up and down. But I think with the guys like Alexi Protas, Jacob Chychrun, younger guys who will eventually, be the core of this team. Tom Wilson's got maybe 3 or 4 more years where you can see him being Tom Wilson, and then after that, I think he has a drop off because unless you're Alex Ovechkin, you're not skating and being awesome into your 40s. So, but the Caps have been a fun team to follow in the 10, 20 plus years that I've been in the area. They're of the teams, because I'm originally from New England, the one Boston team that I could never get into were the Bruins, and the Caps are the one team in Washington that I've really adopted more so than the others. And this goes back to, way back when they were, the most under Bruce Boudreau, they were the most exciting team on ice. Couldn't stop anybody, couldn't advance in the playoffs, but,
Dude,
they
I
were a
go
fun
back
team
to
to
Dennis
follow.
Mrook. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, so like for me and Christian and Carpenter, Coppinta, you know, so it's weird that I'm divorced from it and I don't know enough about
Right.
it. Dave Preston, Dav Presto knows more about basketball than probably anybody I know. It certainly knows more about James Bond. And we're going to get to that in a minute. I really brought you on to talk about James Bond more.
I've
What
got
is
the
that?
book. Oh,
Is
it's a
that
007 book. Oh, yeah.
Your book?
No. It's a book that I read regularly when I prep for my podcast, Bond James Bond Ranked, where we rank each and every one of the James Bond movies by using 10 different things in them, where we rank the Bond actor, his performance in the film, because the Connery in Diamonds is not the Connery in Dr. No, just like the Roger in Live and Let Die is not the Roger in The Spy Who Loved Me. The Bond girl, the Bond villain, the henchman, minor villain, and there is a difference. Henchman, you're hourly. Minor villain, I think you have a 401k. The allies, who helps Bond out in the field? How are the universal people portrayed as an MQ, Moneypenny, what have you? Penelope Smallbone from the movie Octopussy gets a nod as well. And then the pre-credit sequence, the song, and not just the song, but the images that might be, risque, what
I'm going
have
to write
you.
that down right now because I
Yeah.
did want to talk about the Bond music with
Yeah.
you. That was important to me.
True. The plot, not just how the movie hangs together, but the henchman's plot, the creativity behind it, the gadgets and vehicles, and then the locations and look of the film. Daniel Craig Films, do very well in the you see where the movie is, where the movies have put their money in on some of the some breathtaking shots with Daniel Craig. But when you rank each of those items 1 through 26, because we do count Never Say Never Again, you then add them up and it's like a golf score. So is, for instance, last place was Diamonds Are Forever because it had more back end, rankings. Right now we're at number 8, is the one that we're recording. Number 8 or number 7 that we're recording this month, that is Skyfall. So we've yet to hit on a few here and there, but it's what's fun about Bond is that everyone has an opinion and everyone has a different idea of what the 007 series should be. And we have people responding to us from England, from Australia, all over the place. So it's been kind of a cool thing. It's Bond, James Bond ranked. It's up on where you get your podcast, Spotify, or wherever.
All right, well, this can be my contribution to that, Dave,
Yeah.
because like I really did bring you on to talk Bond, but look, we have a Father's Day thing going on. We have the Carolina Hurricanes winning a cup. My buddy Scott Kirk, and congratulations to him and Kathleen, having a great time down there and living in Raleigh. My cousin lives in Raleigh. They're all hurricaned up in the hurricane and all that. Did you know the hurricane can blow over to Alabama from? Oh, that was the last administration. Sorry about that. But
Something like that.
for me, baseball and this Oriole National thing is so insignificant. I don't know what to call it as to like wait for you for next week, wait for these West Coast games. Because I thought this is the week, like the Father's Day week in the old doldrums back in the
Right.
day when things were slow. And here's the weird part, Dave. When I went on the radio here in 1991 with Kenny Albert, December 13th, 1991 is my anniversary of doing this. It'll be 35 years coming up here this December. We only had a baseball team. You, not you, Bedford, New Hampshire, you, DCU,
Right.
WTOP, you, Dave Preston, had the Burgundy and Gold Hail team of George Preston Marshall and then Jack Kent Cooke. And at post Joe Theismann, it was more Jay
Right.
Schradery around that, as I remember it. But nonetheless, but it was more Mark Rypien, quite frankly, at that point.
Yeah.
So when I came in, right? So first Super Bowl I went to when I retired from the Sun, January 15th, 1992. Me and John Raphaelides got in my Jeep and we drove to Minneapolis to see the Thurman Thomas helmet Super
Yeah.
Bowl, where my buddy wore a completely politically incorrect headdress with Joe Gibbs and shouted things at Joe Gibbs that began with F-bombs, and Joe's a mayor of prayer and man of race cars too.
Right.
So nonetheless, we only had a baseball team here, and we had these throwaway winter times where we didn't have football, and the baseball team was kind of like not really good. I mean, 91, 92, 93, 90, it really didn't get any good till like 96.
Right.
So in that period of time, it was like, let's take calls. All right. Well, I was on 1360, then so 481, 1360, and then it was 481, 1570 when I came over here, whatever.
Right.
And tell me your favorite sports movie. And I would take calls about the Bad News Bears or Mr. Baseball or The Natural, or then it would move to basketball and somebody would like pull the line over on Hoosiers, or we would go to The Longest Yard, or I would bring up my love of North Dallas 40 or Semi-Tough.
Love
Somebody
me
would
some
talk
North
about
Dallas
Brian
40.
Song,
Yeah.
and it was the only time I even heard of leukemia before my wife had it, right? So sports movies and like all of that. So I would do all of that like around the sports movie thing. So I've done that, dude. Every scene in Major League I've done Hide Behind the Lockers, I've done Joe Boo's Rum, I've done it all. And with you over the last 15 years, every time I have you on, there's some knick-knack reference or some Scaramanga reference or
Yeah.
some there's
Wife
always
back.
a reference to Britt Eklund, especially when Slim Jim Phantom comes on the program or any month where I see Rod Stewart, and I saw him earlier this month. So my favorite James Bond movie is The Man with the Golden Gun, and you know this. And we
Yes.
have never, you've barked at me, you've taken the high road with me, you've scolded me about this not being the best of the Cubby Broccoli series and the cinema and the Ian Fleming, and it was a flimsy this and a flimsy that, and Christopher Lee wasn't a good enough villain, and Maude Adams wasn't hot enough as the dead woman, and it didn't have enough gadgetry, and it had like the midget villain who went on to become like
That too, yeah.
tattoo. You know what I mean? So it had JW Peppa. So I wore this shirt from Farland and Dermer. Thank you, Zach. I thought it was more Oriole, but I thought it was Oriole Hawaiian, but it is a little bit. We're gonna call the police. You want them police? So nonetheless, I'm a man with the golden gun guy for a lot of reasons, and I'll break mine down. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to be Dave Preston, not the guy from Bedford whose sister has Super Bowl rings, not the neighbor of my mother-in-law for many years in Bedford, New Hampshire, not the WTOP sports radio maven or the voter on the AP top basketball, football, and all that. And not even like the server who brought me delicious steaks and big baked potatoes and asparagus and delightful soups and things like that in your day. But I just want you to be James Bond podcast guy. Okay. Give me the name of your Bondcast is what it's called.
Bond, James Bond ranked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go
So.
ahead and bag on it. Go bag on
Okay.
my
All
movie.
right.
Just freaking bag on it because we're going to go nose to nose on this when you start kissing the ass of Sean Connery or something like that. But nonetheless, go ahead.
I'm gonna lead off by saying there's no, I mean, even Bond movies kind of like pizza. I've been told that even the ones that aren't awesome, there's still some value. There's still some
Like
fun
sex
in
and
it.
pizza. Okay, I
Yes,
got it. All right.
exactly. Here's now the
And it
problem
has
with.
been said, weed anywhere but Mexico, but go ahead.
Yes. Now what's unfortunate with The Man with the Golden Gun was that it came out right after, it came out a year after Live and Let Die. The Bond movies after the first four, it was always a 2-year production schedule when you look at it through the end of the Timothy Dalton era. It
Was
was
there
every other year.
anything else, movie-wise that was franchise quite like it? Because I mean, I was
I don't
born
think
in
so.
'68.
Yeah.
This was my first Bond movie,
Right.
okay? And I literally went to it at the Highway Movie Theater, which is now a Wise movie, Wise Market,
Okay.
in Middlesex, Middle River. It's literally Middlesex. I'm not even making that
Yeah.
up.
Not
Middles like
even good,
triple
not even
sex.
bad. It's middle.
Middlesex, it is not Essex, Middlesex. And my father lived in these roach-infested apartments behind there. They were called River something something. And the Highway Movie Theater when I was 5 years old, and it was very grand to me. Like I had never really been to the movies. My parents took me to like a Jungle Book kind of thing over at the Carlton when I was a
Right.
little boy. But my first movie I ever wanted to see was this movie. And my father, my Hispanic father, my Aparicio father, broke down and finally took me one Friday night because I begged him to take me.
Yeah.
And he took me to see it in kind of an empty theater. And I'm 5 years old watching Lulu, watching Knick Knack, watching Golden Guns, watching Beautiful Women. I think the Britt Eklund thing just scarred me, like literally for
Ruined you.
life,
Yeah.
for life. But like, so that's my association. And that became my fascination with Moonraker, The Spy Who Loved Me. Those,
Yeah.
that era. And then my dear friend Leon Radijak that I grew up with, when cassettes happened, I was the first one in the neighborhood with a VCR. My dad, 1980, during the Olympics, the Do You Believe in Miracles game was one of
Yeah.
the first things my father captured. So in February 1980,
Oh,
we
wow.
had a VCR. A lot of people had a beta because beta was more popular for 5 minutes. But we had a VCR with the tapes. And once we got cable television and the TBS, you could tape the movies.
Right.
Leon would tape them for us and we would sit and watch them edited, right? I mean, a lot of it
Yes.
was edited with women and different, even the songs were edited, the openings,
Yeah.
as you pointed out. But like my fascination with Bond began with The Man with the Golden Gun. So therefore, it is my favorite Bond movie. And that would be, but like, you're going to trash it. I know you are. Go ahead,
Well,
trash it.
it's not the best Bond movie. It's unfortunately, it was when the series had kind of lost its way. Tom Mankiewicz wrote that as well as A Live and Let Die and Diamonds Are Forever. And if you look at those three movies, each one kind of starts with some strengths and then kind of dissipates. Britt Eklund, she's beautiful to look at, but she plays a very incapable field agent. Like she's not smart at all. And You're just, she does a lot of stupid, idiotic things. So at no point during the film do you believe that she's a capable field agent. I really like Maude Adams in this film. I think the whole let's at the time the Bond series was more a thermometer than a thermostat. If you look at the 60s Bond films, they were trend-setting films. 70s films, you had, oh, we're going to do blaxploitation for Live and Let Die. Oh, we're going to do space for Moonraker. Oh, we're going to have kung fu scenes
I remember the
in
first
the
time I
Golden
ever
Gun.
saw a Sony logo
Right.
was in Moonraker on that
Okay.
sexy boat. You remember that out in the water?
Yes, the
Right?
hyperfoil, yeah. Or
Right?
the, yeah,
Yeah,
it
but
was the
that was
gondola.
so 1978,
Right.
1979, when it was time to get a VCR, Sony, and I just mentioned Betamax, didn't I?
That
I
was
just
the
said,
thing, yeah.
like, literally, the Bond movie was a product placement thing in that era, right?
Bond movie's always been about product placements. If you look at the very first movie, Dr. No, Bond gets into a fight with Quarrel, the fisherman who winds up getting blown up by the dragon. When they get to Dr. No's lair, they get into a fight in this room and they're kicking around boxes, and those boxes are Red Stripe Lager, so Jamaican for beer. So the very, I mean, they've been into product placement with that, the Aston Martin cars, the various and sundry other things. And so, I mean, it's something that just happens, and it's something that you almost go out of your way to look for it. Okay, what are they going to do here or there? Another thing about the, the man with the golden gun, Roger Moore is yet to really find his way as 007. I think he matures in the role in The Spy Who Loved Me. I think in the first two films, he's really kind of just he's getting comfortable in those clothes, in those shoes. If you look at
He
some of the
wasn't
other
trying to
guys,
be Connery, though, was
no, he
he?
wasn't. No, he wasn't. In fact, what's nice about the
Any
man with
more
the
than
golden
Michael
gun,
Keaton was trying to be, Adam
Adam West,
West.
yeah.
Right.
So I think what they didn't Live and Let Die, they wrote for basically somebody. They didn't write for Moore because he hadn't gotten the role when they wrote the script. They tried to tailor it to him a little bit more, but there are some scenes where he gets rough with Maude Adams, and you can't imagine Roger Moore slapping anyone, let alone, a pretty girl. It's not his style. Roger Moore was always the finesse Bond, whereas Connery was the physical Bond. Imagine a fullback to a halfback. Roger Moore was Lenny Moore, as it were. Connery was more, what do we, what, Norm Balayek, forgive me if I butcher the name.
Boulash.
Boulash, okay, yeah, because I only read it, never heard it because he retired before my time, but that's what I mean. So you get, one was Lytle Mitchell, one was Roosevelt Leakes. And it took a while for Cubby Broccoli to capture Roger Moore's Bond effectively. Didn't happen in the first two films. Also, this was the last film produced by Harry, co-produced by Harry Saltzman. Saltzman had money issues. He and Broccoli were not getting along at that time, so that added another cloud to the production. I think the fact that it came out a year after Live and Let Die made it feel rushed. It doesn't. There's that. There's not a lot of great chase scenes, in my opinion. There's a great stunt that's then underwhelmed by that stupid slide whistle. That just, oh God, it's a fantastic stunt when the car does the corkscrew. In fact, that very car or model of that car was at the Spy Museum a few years ago when they did Bond in Motion. So they've done a lot. That exhibit is now no longer, but you had a chance to see a car from every single 007, or a vehicle at least, because you had a sub that the Bathos sub from Spectre in Diamonds Are Forever. But what's unfortunate about The Man with the Golden Gun is that you expect this super duel, and instead it's just hijinks and shenanigans where they're hiding behind trees at the end, and the fun house kind of it's when you're 5 years old, it's the coolest thing. But if you're 15, if you're 20 years old, you're like, okay, yeah, I kind of get it. And that's why that it's underwhelming. It's one of the lesser Moore films, in my opinion. It's not as, I think A View to a Kill is my least favorite. Moonraker and Golden Gun are kind of in the mix. Moonraker, I like a little bit more because the stunts are more spectacular. I think also, I mentioned that Bond had lost his way, and he came, Spy Who Loved Me came back to the old big Bond. This was not a big Bond. Just like Live and Let Die was really not a big bond, even though you had some great chases and this and that and the other thing, but you didn't have the big sets. And I think you had the Solex Agitator set that was basically you had 5 minutes with. You needed to make that a central part of the film. So there are a lot of things here and there that just didn't work for me. And that's why The Man with the Golden Gun is lower on my rankings of the Bond films. When you look at individual things, hated the song. I know you, The Man with the Golden Gun, Love is Required Whenever He's Hired, He Comes Just Before the Kill. That I think they heard Paul McCartney do Live and Let Die, which is off the charts
Yeah, I
awesome.
mean, you're not
And
gonna
the
beat
producers,
Live and Let Die. It's the second
but I
time
think,
this month I've mentioned Live and Let
yeah.
Die on the air. So, yes.
But I think the producer said, hey, wow, this guy can come in. He can put together a song. It can have an up-tempo thing, rocker. You say the title, da 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 da. Anybody can do it. No, you can't. That's why Paul's special. That's why you look at the great Bond songs, and there's a chasm between that and even the rank and file Bond songs. This is one of the lower tier ones, even though I find it amusing from time to time. His ally in Bangkok, Lieutenant Hip, is massively incompetent. So, it's amazing that 007 survives this mission because he's got Goodnight, who gets locked in a car trunk and has just gosh, just doesn't show any signs of being an intelligent field agent. And then you got Lieutenant Hip, who is in his own way just as bad. And then you've got scenes that are stupidly played for laughs. They didn't need to bring back JW
You
Pepper.
don't like J.W. Pepper. I
I
knew
love
you didn't
Clifton
like
James.
J.W. Pepper.
Clifton James was awesome. You talk about sports movies. Clifton James was awesome as Charlie Comiskey in Eight Men Out,
I
as the
remember
tough ass
that.
owner. Yeah, he was. In fact, we were talking about movies earlier today. We were talking about Eight Men Out. My favorite baseball movie is still The Naked Gun. My favorite basketball movie is still Teen Wolf, and I'll go to
The
bat for
Naked Gun
both
is
of
not a
those.
baseball movie, but go ahead.
But that's. You've got actually, you could say that The Naked Gun is a James Bond movie because the
Folks, if
Queen
you
is in
wonder why I
danger.
don't do these segments, it's because of things like this.
Oh,
Come
okay.
on.
What? It's a
Naked
baseball
Gun's not a
movie.
baseball movie.
It's also a
I mean, you
spy
don't have to
movie.
say The Natural. You don't have to say Sandlot. You know, you could go off on a tangent. And I mean, I'm a Bad News Bears guy and I'm a Major League guy, right? Even though Major League 2 was filmed right here and Ray
Oh, okay.
Bachman has a very small cameo, and I knew some of the paid actors
Cool.
in it actually for Baltimore, but nonetheless, we're doing Bond cinema with
Yes.
Bond Nick WTOP, not the sports director, but the sports guy, in the morning in the updates and the field reporter and an AP voter and a college football insider and basketball. Blah, 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 blah. But I think a Bond with you, and
Right.
it's summer. The Nationals are playing the Orioles, and who cares? And baseball's going on strike anyway, before either one of these teams win any World Series.
Heartbreaking.
Capitals are no good. I was going to haze the Wizards a little bit, but I didn't even get to that. I just, for everything nasty that you just said, and I felt like you were more Siskel than Ebert there, even though, I mean, you were not very nice to, as you were not very nice to Britt Ekland. I'm going to tell you right now.
Well, it's not her fault. I mean, I think a lot of it is the script writing. Because you look at Tom Mankiewicz, who wrote that film. He also wrote
Is he
Diamonds Are
dead?
Forever. He has passed away, I believe.
Blame it on
Yes.
him. Okay,
He
blame it on him. Right.
also came up with Heart to Heart, so he's capable of writing and creating intelligent female characters because Jennifer Hott was absolutely fantastic. Actually, she's gorgeous in the credits. And me, Max, I look after him, which ain't easy because when they met, it was murder. Were you a Heart to Heart guy?
I remember that. I remember all that.
Oh
Yes.
God,
My
I mean,
dad loved Heart to
early
Heart. I know.
'80s TV shows where they had
My
to get the
dad loved
whole
that issue.
exposition out in the titles. Where it's like, we got to tell you what the story's about real quick, and so
You know, my
if you
dad
haven't
only
seen it,
watched television like that when sports wasn't on, so it was, usually a tough winter night. My dad was
yeah,
looking through reruns or something like that. You know what I
hot to
mean?
hot.
He
So,
loved Heart to Heart.
but what's unfortunate is, so you look at Tiffany Case, who if you the first five, three or four scenes, Jill St. John is in that movie. She's smart, she's sharp, she's awesome. She is more than capable of holding her own with Bond. And then the last five scenes, she's an absolute idiot. And it's not the actress, it's how she was written. And so I think that the Bond series is a collaborative effort on so many ways, so many levels, from production, Ken Adam, the genius who drew, who did all of the sets from Fort Knox to the volcano,
Sort of a
to
golden
the,
age of cinema in the 60s and 70s,
right.
and the original question I ask, was there anything else like that that was a on I mean, I know they wanted to make a Jaws 2 and a
Right.
Godfather 2 and an Exorcist 2 and like all that, but going back into the late 50s and early 60s, was Disney spinning out anything that was a one character, like Indiana Jones came later or whatever,
I mean,
but I'm
they
just trying to think, was there anything like Bond at all?
they tried. In fact, Harry Saltzman, the guy who produced the Bond films, came up with a character who was like the antithesis of Bond. He wasn't suave. He was a middle class guy, wore glasses. Michael Caine, name the character was Harry Palmer. He did three or four movies in the 60s, but nothing beyond that. You had James Coburn as our man Flint, I think, did two or three films. You had a couple of those, and as far as sequels, Planet of the Apes turned out a bunch of films. You know, each one was progressively worse. You had Death Wish at the time that did, again, did five movies that each one was progressively worse. But no series, in my opinion, like the Bond films that, The Man with the Golden Gun was the ninth film in the series. And we've had 25, 26, if you count Never Say Never Again, 27, if you count the original Casino Royale. Nothing is compared to the staying
It was
power
also
of
had some
007.
kitschy, cheeky humor that
Oh, yeah.
maybe Connery wouldn't have been a part of, right? I mean, the
Right.
series took a departure in the 70s that was all part of disco, groovy, Batman. You know, that's just the way
Right.
the early 70s looked. Everything looked different than 1965, I think, right?
Yeah, the series has always taken ebbs and flows, and I think what's it's always kind of been reactive of the previous film, whereas you had Moonraker that was just out of this world, crazy stuff, gadgets, space, just not realistic and so on so many levels. Then they dialed it down and they did For Your Eyes Only, which was more of a Cold War caper. You did You Only Live Twice, which was again similar film, out of this world, all this that, Honor Majesty's Secret Service for other reasons too, but was more sticking to the Fleming script, more serious. Thunderball was more stick. It was more of a serious film than Goldfinger. Goldfinger was more of a flashy film than From Russia with Love. Whereas The Spy Who Loved Me was big Bond. As and I think when you look at, if I were to think of four Bond films that were pivotal in the series outside of Dr. No, Spy Who Loved Me is one of them. GoldenEye is another. Casino Royale is another. And I would say maybe Goldfinger is the fourth, because each one really, The Spy Who Loved Me salvaged the series, because The Man with the Golden Gun limped at the box office, limped with the critics. And there was a danger of, can they do these movies without Sean Connery? Because they were still, they're the highest grossing film was Thunderball. It declined with You Only Live Twice. Declined again with Majesties, had a bit of a spike with Diamonds, but Live and Let Die and The Man with the Golden Gun weren't huge box office successes.
Dave Preston is here. He knows everything about James Bond, which is why I brought him on, because I did sports movies for a long time and he
Right.
knows a lot about sports, and we'll get back to Wizards and Nationals and Orioles and all that stuff. So what is it when you do this very, very serious dive on Bond that is more serious than, let's say, my crush on Britt
Yes.
Eklund, or just I loved Roger Moore, and I've the story about Roger Moore running into the little boy in the airport and playing the
Yes.
role of Bond is just, if you don't know that, I've shared it several times. It's Nito Torpedo. Roger Moore and I shared the same birthday too, which I that was never part of my affinity for him, but Roger Moore, if Roger Moore walked in the door right now, I know that would be a stretch, but if he did, that would be a big deal for me. You know what I mean?
Now,
And I've interviewed a lot of
yeah.
people, but Roger Moore to me is James Bond. I always thought of Sean Connery as the fake James Bond. And I used to always kid my friend Lee and all of his other nerd buddies that loved the Bond movies that we would hang out with back in the day. But and in full, and my wife's going to make fun of me when she sees this in general. She thinks it's funny that I know a guy from her hometown. But,
Now, does she share a birthday with Justin Hayward, or is that you that shares a
It's
birthday
me with
with?
Justin
Okay.
Hayward. She's got
And
Clint
Roger Moore.
Eastwood. Yeah,
That's
she's
hey, that's a great trifecta
no,
right there.
the
You,
best
Roger, and
birthday.
Justin.
Listen, the best October 14th birthday
Yep.
isn't Stacy Keibler. It isn't. I mean, I can give you a bunch of different people, but John Wooden
Okay,
and
yeah.
I
The
have the same
wizard.
birthday, and on his 92nd birthday, something like that, He called into my national show, and this is back at the turn of the century. We set it up. So he called in on our birthday
Oh, wow.
to do the show with me. And he called to wish me happy birthday. And I wished him happy birthday. And I talked to him for 15 minutes, and my producers didn't make a copy of the tape. It is the, and your radio guy, Dave Preston of WTOP, it is it, without question, it is the missing Holy Grail.
Ooh,
It's the
that's rough.
missing, it's the thing that, of all the things that got away,
You
me
know,
and John Wooden, you know, so.
you know how you get your spirits up? By buying a super awesome bracket cup,
No. What's
2026
going to get
here
my
at Illinois.
spirits up is the spirit of radio. When the fellows from Toronto come down to Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, bring that action to DC and Philly and other things. But listen, as far as getting my rocks off on sports or the hockey, I haven't watched a hockey game since I walked out of the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas with the cup. Literally, since Tony
Oh,
Robbins
wow.
and Ovechkin walked off the bench with me and Trotz, and I walked out of the building with Trotz that night, I haven't been to a hockey game. I haven't watched hockey, which is why I don't know whether Wilson's a Hall of Famer or not. I'm glad you told me. But I don't see movies very often either. My wife, that's what I'm saying. If she were here, she'd make fun of me for talking movies with you, because
Right.
I tried to do a movie night with my kid and his wife, and when we lived downtown, we were going to do like a whole big thing on Wednesdays or whatever before COVID, even any of that,
Right.
right? And this would be the film I would subject within the first 10. Like if I had
Right.
10 movies and you're going to come over, and I'd say, "Have you seen this one?" And some people say, maybe it's a Bond movie nobody cares about, right? Like to your
Right.
point, right? And some people don't like Bond movies, or they saw them a bunch. I have not seen this movie in 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I haven't seen a Bond movie. I went to the Halle Berry movie in the theater, Timothy
Okay.
Dalton, maybe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I you know, like, so I there was a, was that the ski chase movie?
That was the Die Another Day. There was he I think he was on I think he was windsurfing or something
I
like
went
that.
to a
It was
really, really lousy one, and I
yeah.
swore it off right around the time I swore off movies, which was around 20 years. I don't go to movies much at all. I really, I mean,
Yeah, Die
like
Another Day
never.
was a tough one to stomach.
Yeah,
I mean
I
that they
so.
they re there was a reason why they waited 4 years to do a new one with the new actor. It got too silly. Got
Die Another
ridiculously
Day. That
silly.
was maybe the
Yeah.
really awful one. Okay,
Yep.
okay, okay.
Bad song too by Madonna. Ugh.
It was just
Yeah.
bad, and I don't give time to movies much. I barely give time to sports at this point. People know what I'm the Orioles and the Ravens. They're my level of expertise, but I don't sit. I didn't watch a minute of the NBA Finals. I didn't watch a dribble of March Madness. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just saying, like, I'm 58 years old, and what I give my time to is going to be the quality of the rest of my life. And I'm not going to give it to Ted Effing Leonsis or any of his brands.
There
So,
you
or
go.
maybe not even in his arena, other than Rush, if he does what
Right.
Dolan does and starts facial recognizing me for telling the truth about him lying to the people of Baltimore about winning a Stanley Cup and bringing it, then I maybe he can lock me out of his building. But that's kind of how I feel about some of these billionaires and some of these people who are wrecking the country and wrecking the world and all that. But there is a point in my life where the art of things like film and a cinema room and getting a big TV and watching a film, this w I would love to go back and watch this with you and a
I'd love to
Alan
come over, yeah.
McCallum. You know, Alan loves film, and Max Weiss is like an incredible film critic. And they are my Siskel and Ebert. Once every year or two, like around Oscars, sometimes they'll come on together and goof with me, we'll have popcorn and do all that and talk about movies I should see that I never will. For the
Yeah.
audience, of course, we, the three of us, decided, like collectively decided on the show that we should watch Shampoo.
Oh, that is a hell of a movie. I've seen. It's been a while since I've seen that. Have you seen it before? Or?
Alan bought it on
Okay.
some sort of Blu-ray thing in
Yeah.
his man cave basement over by Milford Mill, Lockern. And Max and I brought crab cakes, and we had a three-person cinematic hootenanny in Alan's basement. This was last spring, a year
Right.
and a half ago. And my wife wasn't even involved. So the three of us got together in his basement, ate crab cakes, delicious, as I remember from the Crab Queen, and watched Shampoo,
Hell of
like
a
in a
movie.
basement
Hell of a
on a
movie.
movie.
God,
So
yeah.
to me, that's the way I would do it, right? You know what I mean? I would find a little cinematic experience where you and I can go and sit and watch The Man with the Golden Gun and like really watch it. And then I'll let you pick the Bond movie you think that I need to see, and one that you haven't seen in a, you know what I mean? Like, you know them all really well, right? So like what would the movie be if I came over tonight and brought this? What would you put
Gosh,
on?
I haven't seen Thunderball in a while. I'd want to see that.
And
One of
you
the
think that that's a top three or number
Yeah,
one?
I think it's top five. I mean, it's a nice representative. I think it's underrated because it's not as good as Goldfinger in many aspects, and so it pales in comparison to Goldfinger that comes right before it. One of the
Thunderball,
things
that had a submarine.
there was underwater scuba
Underwater,
thing.
right.
Yeah, exactly.
And the bad guy was.
Emilio Largo, he had an eye patch.
Right, okay.
The
All right.
classic guy there.
Blofeld? No.
Blofeld is in the movie, but he's unseen. You only
Right,
see
okay.
him.
Okay, go
It's
ahead.
he's
Okay.
yet to reveal himself. One of the things we do, Nestor, with our podcast, Bond James Bond Ranked, two things that you might find interesting. One, after we rate the song and what have you, we say, because Madonna had a cameo as a fencing instructor in Die Another Day, we say, what if there was a rule that the singer of the Bond theme had to be in the movie in a certain cameo? Where would they fit in this movie? From Tom Jones, who sings Thunderball, he would be like a snorkeling instructor, wearing like the tightest bleeping swimsuit, really obnoxious. Duran Duran would be French tourists in A View to a Kill.
Lulu would have been the chick with the belly button that,
Yes.
yes, right?
She would have been in the club. Yeah, she would have been the or she it was at the Bottoms Up Club or
Bottoms
something
Up
like that.
Club,
Yeah.
where I've been. I've
Yes.
been to Lan Kwai Fong in
Yeah.
Hong Kong.
She would do that. And then the other question, and there are, again, no right or wrong answers unless they're really bad, which I throw out from time to time. But the other one is I have friends who used to hold Bond fests where we would watch three movies in a row and you'd hang out,
So
chill, have
three, that's a
martinis.
lot. I mean, two would
But
be good for me.
we're old
One would
enough.
be per one with some conversation and some wine and like that to me that would be perfect. One movie dinner. Yeah, I don't need to do it. You
We
know, I
do
don't need to
two now.
drive in it, you know.
But the question is, like with each of the movies that we rank, it's like, okay, which movie would you pair with this? Like, for instance, you could put The Spy Who Loved Me with You Only Live Twice because they're very similar in theme. Or you could do I want to if I'm watching Live and Let Die, I want to see A View to a Kill to catch Roger's first and last films. If I watch what is it License to Kill, I want to check out maybe one of the Daniel Craig films because of the violence or this, that, the other thing, or Bond goes rogue. So again, it's all it, it one of the that's something that we do in each of the podcasts at the very end where it's like, which film would you pair with the film that we've just rated? So it's kind of it's a fun thing. The guy that I co-hosted with, Brian Corson, loves the Orioles. He loves crab cakes. He also loves James Bond too. So we talk a little bit about James Bond, and then he enjoys the Orioles and crab cakes on his own time.
I feel like a total jerk because I took a picture in front of the Bottoms Up Club in Hong Kong when I was there in 06 or 07, and I can't find it. I found a picture of me and my wife in front of Hong Kong, but I can't find. I'm going to send you a picture of me in front of the Bottoms Up. I have to do that for sure.
By all means.
Dave Preston is my guest. He usually does sports, but he does this crazy Bond podcast that I hope anybody that loves James Bond can go and follow. And you know, because you bagged on the movie like a very, very mean version of 1973, 74 Gene Siskel trying to make his way in Chicago. I'm going to read this to you from the insert in the
Oh,
in the
I can't
DVD.
wait
Is it
because they're
you?
completely objective.
Those elements, the cutting-edge gadgetry, the beautiful women, and the astonishing action sequences lend excitement and intrigue to a story that, while timeless, had special relevance to audiences in the mid-1970s. Just as Soviet decoding machines was a precious commodity in the Cold War era. Oh boy, this is bad. Okay, I can't continue. Dave Preston is here. The man with the golden gun is still there.
Hello?
Knick-knack is still there for you.
Frozen.
The fun room is still there for you. If you kill him, all this be mine. Dave Preston. So we're not going to do a movie night. Should we do this or no? What do you
We
think?
should. I think we should at some point in time this summer. We'll
When's the last time
definitely.
you saw The Man with the Golden Gun?
The first time I saw it was on ABC TV, because that was when ABC had the rights to all of the
Sunday night
Bond
movie,
films,
Monday
and
night
they would
movie,
show those.
right?
Yeah, and when I was 10 years old, I thought it was pretty cool. And then I saw the other ones, and I was like, "Ooh, this one's a little bit better. This one's kind of silly. This one's, gosh,
How old are
that
you, by the way?
I'm 56, so
So
yeah,
what
we're
was the
roughly
first
the
one
same
you
age."
saw?
First one I saw
Moonraker?
in first one I saw in the theater was actually because at the time it's like, "Ooh, you can't go watch Bond." First one I saw in the theater was The Living Daylights. I had my grandparents had HBO, so I saw Octopussy when it was on HBO like two or three times, a day way back when in the early
Right.
80s. I did see Dr. No and The Man with the Golden Gun. Those were the first ones that I remember seeing on
Yeah,
TV.
once you got HBO, it kind
Yeah.
of like, once in a while things would pop up, right?
Yeah, true. And then of course I saw Goldfinger. Goldfinger was the first video cassette that we rented, or that we rented. And then after that, it's like there was a year where I crushed them at, For Much With Love, Thunderball. You run through all of them. Under Majesty's Secret Service, I saw and thought of. I went into it thinking, okay, this it's not even Connery, it's not Moore, it's what is this film? And was amazed at how
What
well
Pam
produced it
Shriver
was.
thought, by the way, but
Yes.
that's just a little inside.
Well,
That
no,
go
I
ahead.
mean, well,
Mixing sports
it.
her.
Well, and along those lines, I hear that she's of comfort to to George Lazenby at this point in time, all
Yes.
these years later. So good for her. She's got a wonderful heart, and
I know that wasn't good. Yes.
despite things that were done,
Nobody
she's,
loves Pam more than me, and nobody loved me more than Pam.
no, just
Pam's the
but
best.
in fact,
Pam Shriver married into the Bond series though, that night, right?
I know,
Crazy,
I, it
right?
was it was my dream. Two of my dreams as a Morton's waiter way back when in Reston when we opened up was to one, have Al Pacino seating in my section so I could say, "Oh, try the veal, it's the best in the city." Or to whatever take the order from Lazenby and Pam Shriver and
If
say,
anybody
"Ah."
wonders why I have Preston on a show, this right here, that was it. That was it. It took me 48 minutes, but like I knew that you were going to make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
The
And
Pacino thing. Come on, man. That's
Oh,
great.
yeah. And then with Lazenby to say, "Oh, this never happened to the other fellow," and riff off of that. So, but
Okay.
no,
All
but
right.
I mean, and over the years, I've read the novels. I've really gotten into the series, I think.
Which
And
novel's the most like the movie?
From Russia with Love and Honor Majesty's Secret Service, the
Okay.
adaptation
They
comes the
were the
closest.
closest.
Yes,
Okay. Because
closest.
I was always
Dr. No
told,
is
like,
close as well.
the Golden Guy, I never read the book.
Yeah.
I owned it, never read it, because that's the way you were when you were a
No.
kid. That it was way different, that they were
Completely
all
up.
very different.
They and what's interesting is that some of the like Live and Let Die, the book scenes from Live and Let Die show up in other movies. Like there's the scene in For Your Eyes Only where they pull the ship, the boat is basically
That's a great
hauling
song.
Roger Moore. Oh, fantastic. Gosh.
Oh, Sheena, bring
What's
it,
his name?
Sheena.
Roger and Melina are getting hauled in the water. That actually happened in Live and Let Die, the book. Felix Leiter gets chewed up in Live and Let Die, the book. Doesn't happen until License to Kill. So you'll see different things happen in different movies that happen in different books. As a kid, as a 14, 15, 16-year-old who didn't have a license, was never getting the girl, James Bond just seemed like a cool dude who always beat the bad guys for the most part. In one movie, you get in From Russia with Love, in the book, he does get kicked by Rosa Klebb and passes out at the end, and you don't know if he lives or dies. Whereas in the movie, it happens differently, but I was a big Bond fan as a kid, read the books, enjoyed the films, and it's a great community because a lot of people have been into Bond in different times, and everyone's got a different vision of what they want Bond to be and what they enjoy the most about him and what they look for in a Bond film, and that's kind of what the podcast Bond James Bond Ranked is about. How do each of the major points hit with us? And what do we like about the film in general, too?
Here's Dave Preston. I'm trying to find the picture of the night that I dressed up. I went to a James Bond party, believe it or not,
Awesome.
that was hosted by Terrell Suggs
Okay.
at the Hyatt. It would have been good if it had not been the night before a football game, but I never saw him because I left at 1 o'clock and he still
Right.
wasn't there yet. It was one of those kind of parties,
Oh,
but it was
wow.
this big white party. I got invited and I dressed like James Bond, and there were two girls that were gold. They were gold head to toe, and
Hello,
I have a
yeah.
picture of them, and I'm doing the Bond. I'm gonna have a good time when I find this Lan Kwai, because I have some Bond, stuff going on here. I would just say this to you before we leave, because I don't know. We're always gonna talk about Bond, but the next time we
Right.
get together, you're gonna want to talk about college football or the Heisman. You're gonna want to talk about the NIL or the baseball strike, or we're gonna be talking about the Capitals' life after Ovechkin or with him, or I'll be bagging on Leones' further because I'll probably do that the rest of my life because I don't like being lied to by billionaires, and their Fredo kids. But nonetheless, there's a little movie reference there
Oh
for you.
yeah. Oh yeah. He's
My favorite Bond
the
song is not McCartney. It's not
we Okay.
Lulu. It's not A View to a Kill with
Right.
for Duran Duran. It's not even Sheena Easton, although I had not thought about that song.
Right.
I mean, what a great song that is.
It does. Yeah, it works. Yeah.
You mentioned it. My favorite Bond song, Carly Simon, dude.
Okay. Nobody does it better. Yeah,
Nobody
that
does it
is
better.
outstanding. And that, I mean, the thing is
Half as
too,
good as you, baby, you're the best. Come on, man.
what's great
I
about some,
wasn't
looking, but
looking.
somehow
Somehow
you
you found
found
me.
me.
Come
I
on.
tried to hide your
And by the way,
lullaby.
I hung out with her daughter, Sally,
Okay.
at a golf tournament when I was syndicated. One of the coolest human beings ever. Sally Taylor, daughter of James Taylor.
Yep.
I don't know the brother. I only know her. But like,
How tempting is it when you're hanging out with Carly Simon's daughter to not throw just under the cuff references to different songs? You're
here's
like,
what
oh, I'm
happened. She
anticipation.
did my show.
Okay.
Okay, so we're at a golf tournament that was a hockey tournament. It was for Sean Podine. You can look this up. He did this for many, many years in Rochester, Minnesota, which is the home of the Mayo Clinic.
Right.
So we went up to Rochester and did this thing on a golf country club with all the. They had just won the Stanley Cup with the Avalanche.
All right.
And the cup wasn't there, but there was. It could have been. They had just won the cup. It wasn't his day with the cup. But we
Right.
were kind of thinking maybe, but it wasn't. But there were a lot of celebrities. There were the woman who starred in the movie was Steve Martin, who married the country buddy of Peyton Manning. Kimberly Williams.
Oh, Kimberly Williams. Yeah.
She was there. So there were celebrities. You know who was there? It was the greatest guy ever, Joey McIntyre.
Oh,
New
wow.
Kids on the
Okay.
Block. So what
It felt
happened
like
was
every boy band had to have a Joey in it.
Joey McIntyre, Sally Taylor, and I were our own little mafia. We were the three that didn't know anybody else and fell in at the party and hung out all night because we liked each other and it was fun. And we just had fun. They were just nice people. As opposed to some Kimberly Williams, not so nice.
Great. Okay. But before we move on, great New Kids on the Block moment for me a few years ago.
Yes.
Maryland press preview, and they're playing on a Friday night, and Mike Loxley, head coach, is like, yeah, they got us playing on another Friday night, I guess. This is our second Friday night of the season, and we played two last year. I guess it's still we're the new kids on the block, and they're treating us like the new kids on the block. And he says that, and they questions Gene Wong of the Washington Post at the time asks him a question. I jump in and I say, "Hey, about this new kids on the block thing, Talia Tungavailoa. It seems like this kid has the right stuff as he's going step by step." And I dropped multiple new kids on the block song titles,
Yeah.
and Locks looked at me like I was from Mars. He didn't
He didn't
understand.
get it.
Because I think he's more of a new edition guy. I should have thrown him, so I should have
Oh.
cooled it
You should
now.
have gone with every little step you take or
Yeah,
like something like that, right? I got you.
exactly.
I
Yeah, I
got you. I
know.
got you. All
Yeah,
right.
we had another one last year where Dustin, the SID, who's for football,
Did you
was going
rub
to
him the
see
right
a.
way?
Oh, very good, very
Oh,
good.
that's pretty good. That's
So
pretty good, Dave. Come on.
last year, the SID was going to see Oasis, like after the opener, and so basically, I show up. And we do a thing at WTOP called T-Shirt Tuesday during the summer. It's just a thing that we do for morale at the station. So I've got my Oasis concert T-shirt from like 20 years ago that I'm wearing, semi in tatters. The faces are kind of, you can't see the guys as much. So my question was, Hey, coach, some might say that sunshine follows thunder. And then I ask him a question. And then it was again, it was before we slide away, give it all you got, and multiple Oasis song references. And Dustin appreciated it. Coach Loxley was just answering the question as though it was a question. So, but
All
yeah,
right.
so
Look,
I
I put
did.
Sally Taylor's name down. I got to get her on the show. I mean, it's been 25 years. And the reason I even bring that up about Sally Taylor is the whole time I was with her, and it was nothing. I was single at the time. There's nothing. She was like a kid sister, hippie kid sister, cool person. But she did the show with me. And I think McIntyre may have been on with us at the time or whatever. And she had her guitar with her. You know, and she, because she's a troubadour, you know, she's a, you know, she was young. She was really young. I mean, I look up how old she was, but she was in her early 20s at maybe the time. So,
And to circle back, what makes Carly Simon's Nobody Does It Better even more awesome is that it follows such an incredible pre-credit sequence when Bond is going off the mountain, and you're like, oh my God, what's going on? He's going off the mountain. And all of a sudden, the parachute pops up, and they play the James Bond music, and boom, and the
You're at a
song
James
comes
Bond
on.
movie.
You're just like, I'm getting goosebumps
You're
right now
Friday night at the
thinking about that.
theater, you know, on opening night. Right. I 100%. So
Goosebumps.
here's my full admission, and I'll admit this to Sally Taylor. And by the way, once in my life, I lived at the Harbor Court, which is where this picture was. On a Friday afternoon, I came home with groceries. I had fish, fresh fish in my bag. I think I got it at Fadley's. I think literally I was walking around the city and we were going to see James Taylor that night at Pier 6. And James Taylor walked in my elevator. So I rode the elevator, me and James Taylor, and I had a bag that smelled like fish. And I made like a funny reference or whatever about it. He was so sweet to me. He was
Oh,
so
that's
James
cool.
Taylor. I didn't have a, you know, we didn't have phones then to take a picture or anything like that. But I rode the elevator with James Taylor and I meant to say, you have a lovely daughter. Yeah, I love it. You know, like I didn't do any of that, right?
No,
So I
Mr.
didn't.
Taylor, you've got a lovely daughter.
This
There you go.
reminds me of your Justin Hayward story that you have,
I
right?
actually did ride it up in the elevator with Mike Love years ago. The Beach Boys were playing in a parking lot in King of Prussia.
Okay.
I was there for a wedding, and we're at the hotel, and we're going up the elevator, and he shows up. He's got his Hawaiian shirt, he's got his hat,
Look like me in the Foreigner and
he's
Dermer
got his
gear, right?
thing, and he's obviously enjoying being Mike Love at that very moment.
Oh,
Because everyone in the
goodness.
elevator is like, oh. And as we walk out, it was one of those embassy suites where you can, there's a big,
Atrium.
atrium. Yes. So
Yeah.
we hop out of the elevator. We know that he's hopped out of the elevator like below us or above us or whatever. And they're like, whoa, is he one of the Beach Boys? They say to me, and I'm like, yeah, they haven't done anything good since Pet Sounds. Yeah. Because I'm like 23 and I'm a little squid. So
No, you
I
didn't do
was being a
that.
jerk. Oh, yeah. I was a major jerk.
You did not give him good vibrations. You
No,
did
I did not.
not.
No,
Not at
no.
all. So my Sally Taylor thing is I was with her all after she did the show,
So
and on
cool.
the show, I offended Kimberly Williams that day, and it's still a source
What
of
did you
great
say?
amusement with my wife and I. Well, she had just broken up with Pete Sampras, and she just didn't.
Oh.
I wasn't being a jerk at all. I was trying to like see if she enjoyed being at the French Open or like it was a sports show. You know what I mean? I was just trying to like talk to her about strawberries and cream or something. You know what I mean?
French
Like it was,
Open remains a sore spot for
yeah,
anyone connected to
whatever. What
Sampras,
anybody to Sampras, right? Correct. Thank you. Nonetheless, because I had just been to the French Open, and I love tennis, but nonetheless, I
If you
offended her. I apologize.
were a tennis guy, if you were a tennis pro, a ranked player, would you rather win Wimbledon or the French Open?
I would rather have dated Carling Bassett, but I would have been a French guy. I'm all about the clay.
Yes,
So
because
see,
it's
and
such a tough thing. And for the longest time, Americans actually did well. Chang, Sampras, or Chang, Agassi, Courier won there. And since Agassi won in like '98, we've come up empty there. So that's just my tennis side. I love the majors, but I would rather. I've always thought of the French Open in tennis as the British Open in golf, where it's a tough surface. It's one of those things that
How the hell
we.
did we get on tennis? This is Kimberly Williams, I think.
Pretty much,
So,
yeah. And
nonetheless,
we're
because she
back.
dated Pete Sampras and didn't, and Brad Paisley, and she doesn't want to talk about it. So, nonetheless, Sally and I hit it off.
Cool.
And McIntyre and I hit it off because we talked a lot about New England sports and stuff,
Yeah.
right? So Sally and I hit it off, and she had her guitar, and like she made it very clear, she's like, I don't know how to play any James Taylor songs. Like she was like very clear that she was not going to sing Fire and Rain for me.
No,
Like so
that's a good way to nip it at the
it
bud.
was
That
like
is
very
awesome.
like I don't know any of their songs. Like
Yeah.
she knows how to play the guitar and doesn't know how to play Anticipation, right? So I did not think of her as Carly Simon's daughter as
Right.
much as I thought of her as James Taylor's daughter for whatever reason. So it never got to me to think about Anticipation, but I did think about in my mind, I'm going to Carolina, which I,
Okay.
I thought more Mexico. I thought
Yeah.
more, like all of that. Got to spend just a little more time with you. Oh, I love that song he wrote about his dog. But
Right.
nonetheless, if I had to do it all over again, I would tell you that Carly Simon's Nobody Does It Better was my absolute favorite song when I was
Gotcha,
9, 10,
yeah.
11 years old.
That's
I
a
wore it
yeah.
out. I can sing every word of it to you for you. And even more so that than like Anticipation or Carly Simon's Greatest Hits, of
Right.
which it's a Carly Simon song. It's one of the top 10 songs of hers,
Right.
but it's not like the Carly Simon song in any way,
No.
right? So I've not thought about this other than having you on, how much I love that song, then I'm going to go listen to that song in your
Right.
honor. I'm going to find my Lan Kwai Fong picture in front of the Bottoms Up Club in Hong Kong. And I took pictures out in front of the Four Seasons, which was
I've
all
got you.
filmed there where
That's
Q
nice.
was and came in on the submarine and all that. And I owe you one more. Oh, the Goldfinger picture. And then
Yes.
you and I, and I'm going to recruit Max and Alan
Please
and
do,
see
yeah.
if we could do a Bond viewing one night.
That would be awesome.
Well, if the double feature is going to be it, Man with the Golden Gun's got, because I
Man with the
gotta,
go I'm
I haven't
fine with
seen it.
that,
You'll
yeah.
watch it.
I will watch it, yes, yeah.
You don't hate
I
it
will
that
watch.
much.
I mean I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I mean, again,
Come on, man. When
it's like
Hervé
sex and pizza.
Diaz
I would
lights up
watch
the
it.
screen, when
Yeah.
Christopher Lee pulls out that gold, that.
That was a cool gadget. That was a very cool gadget. And what's amazing is that Christopher Lee is more like James Bond than anyone else. He was in the RA.
He's a
He did
badass.
some serious stuff over back in the day during the war.
You know who
So
resembled him? Dick Cass resembled him tremendously. If you look up
yes.
Dick Cass,
Okay,
looked a lot
yeah.
like Christopher Lee.
Right, right.
I always saw that. And I don't want to forget the fantastically beautiful Maude Adams and
Yeah.
Britt Eklund. And I had one of her husbands on. I had Slim Jim Phantom on. And before I brought Slim Jim on, I said, listen, I don't want to be a jerk, but I was in love with Brit and Man with the Golden Gun. Can I bring anything of about it up at all? And he said, I'd rather not. I've said, no problem.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna bring it up. But I just thought, like, yeah, it's Britt Eklund, man. Please.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Britt Eklund,
At
okay?
least you didn't bring up, hey, could I talk about that video where she was with Rod Stewart in? I mean, at least you
Hold on
didn't.
a minute. What song did he write about
Tonight's the
her?
night. Tonight's the night. She's in
He
the
did
video. And she, like,
100% for
I
real?
don't know if he wrote it about her, but she's in the video
Hold
and
on.
she's, yeah.
I'm going to ask, what song did Rod
Thought it was Tonight's the
Stewart
night.
write about? And it pops up, Rachel Hunter. Britt
Oh, God, yeah.
Eklund, hold on. It was You're in My Heart.
Oh, God,
You're
okay.
in My
Yes,
Heart.
yes.
You're in My Soul.
Yeah.
All right. So which one did he write about? Which one did he write about? Rachel Hunter, It's Over.
Ooh, yeah, there's a lot of
Not
bad ones. Yeah,
a good
yeah,
one there. For
yeah.
Penny Lancaster, he wrote I Can't Imagine. That is his current wife. So,
Favorite album by him remains Every Picture Tells a Story, and that is a CD that I listen to with num I listen to it often to this day. It's
Tonight's the Night is my favorite Rod Stewart
okay.
song, but he
My
played it
favorite.
for me last week. I love Passion. I
Yeah.
love, oh my God, I could give you, hey baby, you'll be on my mind tonight. So
Yeah.
I'm a Rod guy, but look, Britt Eklund was the first, maybe before Marsha Brady,
Yeah.
certainly before Farrah Fawcett. I mean,
Yeah.
Britt Eklund might have been the first woman that ever inspired me as a 5-year-old boy to think she's a really pretty girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's
And
why I want to
maybe,
watch
yeah.
Man with the Golden Gun. Is that all
There you
right?
go. Yeah, we can watch that. Yeah, that sounds good. And maybe trying to think
And every time she shows
maybe.
up in a bikini, we have to drink.
Okay. Good with that, early and often. Early and often. We'll
Ah,
do
good night, good night.
Thunderball. We will do Thunderball
All
because I
right.
think that's a good
All
that
right. I like
just like I
this.
think, and it's no, it's no hating on Britt or Roger or any of those people, but Man with the Golden Gun, you see a lot of things come up short. I think Thunderball, you see the Bond machine,
So we'll
everything
watch
works
this one
well.
first, and then we'll
Yeah,
watch Thunderball
Thunderball
second.
works for me.
All right, there it is. Dave
Sounds like a
Preston's
winner,
put
man.
together Movie Night. Talk about your Bond podcast. And then, of course, anybody can go to WTOP.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Dave's work with all the Washington sports teams, all the surrounding things, and his work in college football and college basketball. So, did I do a good
Well,
job of reading your resume?
great. I think so. And we also, in the Nationals notebook, each week we, because we recognize that there are Orioles fans in our area, and who are still in Virginia because, 30 plus years following the O's, making the short commute to Camden Yards. So we have what's called Break Up the Birds and O's Woes. When the birds are doing well, it's Break Up the Birds. When they're not, it's O's Woes. We talk a little bit
Been
about
a lot of
them and how they
woes
do.
for the O's.
Yeah, it's been a rough year. Been a rough year, but we'll mention them as well as everything else going on with the Nationals in the Nationals notebook that drops every Monday. The fresh one is up right now, and of course, Bond James Bond Ranked is the podcast where we talk about James Bond 007, and you can even go online at WTOP.com, search James Bond rankings, and you'll find how I've ranked the Bond movies over the years. And you might not want to check it out, Nestor, because Man with the Golden Gun's not in the top 20, unfortunately.
I
But that was
wasn't
made.
looking, but somehow you found me. All right, I got to get Sally Taylor on. We got to sing
Sure.
that one together. That'd be great.
There you
Dave
go.
Preston is here. Man, I've had a fun career these 35 years,
Yeah.
and I've lived long enough to graduate from taking phone calls from people saying, "Let's talk sports movies because it's a slow week. We got to have a topic on the show," to saying, "I'm going to do a deep dive on Bond, James Bond." But I did a really lousy job of finding all my old pictures, but I'm going to find them before this makes its way to Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.